can't stand for the moment. We did an interview with Steve Sussman, oh, more than a decade ago. Amazing, pioneering lawyer who represented an indigenous community in Alaska against big oil because of climate change. But it's not just Sussman Godfrey. It's all of these law firms. You're a law professor. The significance of this attack on law firms.
The attacks on law firms are one of the most dangerous things we're seeing. Look, one of the key checks that we have seen so far in the early days of the Trump administration on these authoritarian power grabs have been actions in court. Now, the president keeps flirting with the idea of not obeying court orders, but so far, the courts have been holding, and you need lawyers to bring those cases in court. So instead of attacking the courts directly, what he's doing is attacking the lawyers. He's trying to intimidate the entire legal profession into standing down and leaving him a free open path to do whatever it is that he wants. He understands that law can be a check on authoritarian moves. So he's trying to bankrupt these law firms. Now, every law firm that has gone to court so far has gotten a quick and strong order from a judge protecting them from these executive orders. That should be a strong signal to every other law firm out there. What the Trump administration is trying to do with these attacks is unconstitutional. You are lawyers. You can go to court and you can file for that type of protection. And I hope that each time a law firm does that, it will breed more and more courage across the profession, because that's another sector that needs to stand united and stand tall in the face of these threats.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and just add on Sussman Godfrey that they did represent Dominion Voting Systems. Andrew Manuel Crespo, Morris Wasserstein, Public Interest Professor of Law at Harvard Law School, General Counsel of the Harvard Faculty Chapter of the American Association of University Professors, which has filed a federal lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of Trump funding cuts that sought a court order to block them. This is Democracy Now!
You're tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.org.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Willamette Week is seeking nominations for their annual Best of Portland Readers Poll. Show your support for KBOO by nominating us for Best Radio Station before noon on Friday, April 25th. Go to kboo.fm and click the Best of Portland banner to submit a nomination. Thank you for supporting your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Welcome to PDX Progressive Talk Radio, where progressive dialogue meets local action. Every fourth Wednesday of the month, join us for insights and solutions on critical issues impacting Oregon. Let's create change together. We are PDX Progressive Talk Radio.
And good morning to you, Portland, Oregon. My name is Moses Ross. I am here at PDX Progressive Talk Radio on kboo.fm at 90.7 on your FM dial. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, April 16th. Sherry Morish, hello, Sherry.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
How is my co-host today?
I am awesome. How are you?
Oh, you know, it was a glorious drive into the studio this morning.
I was going to say that. It's going to be a beautiful day today.
I am just shocked and amazed at how the environment in Portland. I'm not shocked. That's why I live here. I love mornings like this where the sun is just beaming over Mount Hood.
Yep.
You're driving into I-5, going to work, and it's just It's just beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful. You know,
it's going to be a gorgeous day.
And it's kind of a microcosm of the whole reason, one of why we love Oregon so much, why we love Portland so much, why we put up with so much of the shenanigans politically here and live in Portland, you know, it's because of days like this, it's mornings like this, and they only get better from here.
It's not only going to be, you guys, this is, if you are new to Portland or you are visiting us, this is going to be a picturesque Portland day. Mm. The high is going to be around 66 degrees later on, and it's going to be beautiful and sunny all day long. For someone who has lived here on and off my whole life, these are the days we wait for all winter long.
Amen to that. You know, the dreariness of a December 18th, you know, with the rain and 40 degrees and
yep.
And you just fantasize about days like this in Portland.
Yes, so,
very much so. And this is only the beginning of it, and I tell you, it gave me a reason to get up this morning. But I'll tell you what else it gave me a reason to get up this morning is some of the topics that I wanted to talk about. There's a couple things. There's three things I wanted to talk about today, and I want to encourage folks, that my listeners, to call in to give your opinion on these topics or any topic that you might have an itch to discuss with the general public here on KBOO, Progressive PDX Progressive Talk Radio. You can call in live and share your opinion on the air at 503-231-8187. You're welcome to call in. This is PDX Progressive Talk Radio. I'm Moses Ross, your host. So, you know, one topic that came to me to mind that I've been itching to talk about is it's that time. It's Major League Baseball time. It's, you know, the basketball season is ended. I'm a huge Trailblazers fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I go to all the games. I take my daughter. And now we're getting into the baseball season. And folks, there's been discussions about, from some groups, to bring a Major League Baseball team to Portland. Now, I want to bring that topic up because Portland does have a history of baseball here in this town. Back for a century, we've had the Portland Beavers.
Yeah.
That's right. Triple-A teams. The Portland Rosebuds, I think that they were called once. Or is that the hockey team? But the point is that we had a beautiful facility up there at Civic Stadium. I remember in the 2000s working there as a beer man. Hey, get your beer here. Ice cold beer.
Yep. I remember that. I've gone to a game or two there.
Yeah. And it was a gathering place. It was a family gathering place, a community gathering place. Go watch a baseball game. Go have a hot dog. Spend a beautiful afternoon, summer afternoon out for a cheap date, you know, a cheap time with the kids and the family. And it's all a part of a growing community, is having these types of major league sports teams.
Right, they're minor league.
Even if they're minor league. I agree with you on that.
Sometimes those are more fun.
Sometimes.
Like if you go to Safeco Stadium up in Seattle, it's not as much fun as when I used to go to the AA teams in San Bernardino. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is, or even the team that the Beavers team here.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, it's, you have to start somewhere, and when it comes to teams like that, sports teams like that, the double A or the minor league teams can be just as strong and healthy and as a part of the community as major league teams.
If not more, those people live in that community.
Sure.
And it's not like the major league games where you have people in Seattle. We had people coming from all over the world to watch the Mariners.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and you've got, they're tied into the community. Like, for instance, the Portland Winterhawks, you know.
Exactly.
Those kids are, they are literally kids. They're 19 and younger. You know, and so they're living with members of the community during the season.
Exactly.
You know, and they're participating in the community, doing outreach and things like that. And so life skills are being taught to these, you know, young men.
Yes.
The bigger point is, for me, is how can a team like this help the not only the economic viability, the economic outlook of a city, but the mental outlook of a city? How does it help the city in its image and that conveying of the professional place to be? I mean, when you think San Francisco, you think of their baseball park down there. You know, my goodness, you think of Dodger Stadium, you know, going and getting a Dodger dog. That's always just been a real thrill to me, and I think it's kind of a sign of a major metropolitan area. And the baseball stadium that they're proposing to put in here in Portland would be down there on the south waterfront. I've seen some screenshots of this, and it's a beautiful-looking facility. Down there, the Zidell Yards, the shipyards, the old Zidell shipyards, right there by the Tillicum Bridge. And it would have an amazing view of the river and of Mount Hood. It could really be a real watershed moment for this city. I have a caller. I have Jeff on the line, and let's hear what Jeff has to say. Jeff, hello, sir. What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for taking my call. Just a couple of quickies.
Sure.
I believe in the vision that you've already put forward, the old Zidell Yards and so forth. But I miss two things. I miss Civic Stadium, and I miss Civic Auditorium. Long ago, we decided that we're going to sell the naming rights. And God bless us, everyone. I thank you for taking that comment. And I'm leaving now. Thank you.
You know, you bring up two facilities, the Civic Stadium, Civic Auditorium, keyword civic. The idea that it was part of the community, it was for the community, a gathering place for the community, versus a playground for the rich and famous, you know, and with these kind of these big ballparks or these, you know, like you hear of these millionaires and billionaires that are buying sports teams, and they upgrade the facilities, and you know, it's kind of like the Lakers. Be starstruck at a Lakers game. Always irritated me when you go to a Portland Trailblazers game. You're seeing people, you know, you're seeing kids, you're seeing families, you're seeing salt of the earth more so than I would be at a Laker game, for sure. You know, one thing I wanted to mention real quickly about the MLB to PDX, and then we'll move on to another topic, is that the group that's putting this together is called the Portland Diamond Project, and they're looking to acquire $800 million in state bonds. All right, so they're genuflecting in front of the state legislature at this moment, trying to get this.
That's an awesome term, genuflecting.
Oh, they're kissing the Pope's ring down there, trying to get this money from the state legislature. I get it. I understand why they're going to the state. It's the most immediate source of funding, you know, and the bonds make sense. And it does. What also makes sense is how they're planning on paying it back, and that's on a tax on the players. You know, if a player is, I think it's like a 1% tax or some crazy amount, what they call a jock tax. That's what it is. So the jock tax is the idea that they're paying an extra income tax on the players and the staff as well as on the visiting teams. And so it's not going to hit us. So, you know, it's a real opportunity. And I just want to bring that up as one of those good things that is happening here in the city of Portland that is beneficial, that is helpful, that makes me look forward to the future of Portland. Let's go to one more caller, and then we'll take a quick break to pay the bills. Nadine, hello. Welcome to the PDX Progressive Talk Radio. What's on your mind?
I want to make sure that we don't waste our money, our resources, our time and attention on giving wealthy professional sports team billionaires a way to screw our local Portlanders, the custodians, the parking attendants, etc., and want to make sure we don't waste our money having we taxpayers pay for police to make it convenient for their profiteering while the police do not do, if they have a legitimate job at all, they don't do their job of preventing and solving crimes and protecting Portlanders from violence. I want to make sure that if we do want to spend that huge amount of money, that we spend it for the greater good, for housing, climate resilience, and an economy that is not dependent upon fossil fuel burning, that is not dependent upon big trade, and an economy of privilege and luxury that is out of touch with how fascism is going to be making us downsize and have to take care of each other locally instead of traveling to other places to watch people kind of be our gladiators. If we're going to spend that much money, let's prioritize it first, doing good, and then if we are going to be spending that money on big sports teams, let's make sure that they pay the cost instead of us taxpayers. And unlike Blazers, where we pay all this money and then we cannot even attend the games and we can't even travel safely in the area.
You know, valid points, Nadine. You know, I think what is the priority of our community, and whether or not that money, that $800 million could be better spent fixing the potholes, right?
I'm saying that we need to unite the so-called good things of people being spectators of other entertainers. Is it more important that we unite and take care of each other? We have a stronger sense of community when we're not being anti someone else, the immigrants, the blacks, or whatever it is that they're being anti now, the other color sports team or political team. But instead, we unite and we take care of each other, and mutual aid and mutual problem solving and creating things. I mean, like, we're the grass seed growing capital of the world, and we could be growing grass that grows very, very quickly, very tall, better than bamboo, that we could be building houses with instead of using trees.
Mm-hmm.
That we could be creating along our highways and railroads hemp and fiber that could be used to make our own face masks, because China is not going to give us for the next pandemic. We need to be able to protect our water instead of waste it for lithium mines, for spying, and for war and genocide, ecocide somewhere else. We could be uniting with that sense of joy and camaraderie and excitement and creativity that's far better than just sitting in a bleacher eating hot dogs, watching someone else maybe get a fly ball and get a concussion.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you on that, Nadine, and I really appreciate your input on that. It's a good grounding reminder, quite frankly, that, you know, without that, we can be much more serious in our approach, and much more reflective and conscientious in our approach and how we, the environment that we want. Now, having said that, I think one of the biggest reasons that they have brought up this whole Major League Baseball concept here, one of the biggest reasons is the perception and the image that problems that Portland has and as it relates to its economy and its, well, quite frankly, its marketability. You know, people are afraid to come downtown. People are afraid to move to Portland.
So make it hold police accountable so that police are not terrorizing and rioting on us. We can hold corporations accountable so they're not having all these empty storefronts and making people become homeless. We can create, we can use baseball, softball, t-ball to create community at a local level, and soccer and stuff that doesn't involve. We can create community locally at livability, but having another entertainment spot is not countering bad policing and bad economic choices. It's not countering homelessness.
Mm-hmm,
it's not countering hunger. It's not countering inflation. It's not countering corporations that are raising the prices but lowering the pay.
Do you think they can be done at the same time?
What?
Do you think things can be done at the same time? Do you think that we could be doing a project like Major League Baseball at the same time, working on a more conscientious approach to our environment and to our police?
Because we only have so much money, and if we waste our money on pursuing billionaires coming and then outpricing things and then costing us money and lowering our bonds and raising our insurance and raising our taxes and lowering our services, we cannot do that. But if the purpose is to make Portland livable and strong communities, we do that through caring, we do that through our better government with our new charter, we do it with community. We prevent crime by having folks have an alternative to homelessness, drugs, or angry violence. We make it livable, we make it exciting, we make it beautiful, we make Portland the shining example for the world. We've got some of the best topsoil in the world and best growing seasons in the world. And if we stop logging, we'll have enough rain that we need to have for our economy and for our agriculture, for our environment. We can become, if we're going to encourage people traveling, instead of it going for entertainment, we can have people travel here to see how to create something wonderful. The FBI and several other federal agencies did a 30-year study of community resilience of what was then the size of Portland and larger cities. Mm-hmm. And Portland far surpassed every other city of every size, that size and larger, they were looking at, because of KABU. KABU was the community radio that united us and have a sense of caring and hope and problem-solving and creative solutions. That is what we can make people say, this is what's good about Portland. It's not about a little bit of marketing. It's not about a traditional billionaire coming in, entertaining us. There's nothing more enjoyable than loving each other.
I sure appreciate your thoughts on this, Nadine. I do need to take a break to pay the bills, but thank you for sharing that. And it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that we can be conscious of our socially conscious in our environment for Portland, of what we aspire for Portland. And there's other way there. No, I tip my hat to you, Nadine. I just point.
Instead of being passive spectators, let's be active participants and community caregivers.
Right on. Very good. Thank you for calling in, Nadine. Appreciate it. Sherry, I noticed that you also have something that you need to say.
Yes, I do. And thank you, Moses. That was a great conversation, by the way. And she actually had some great insight. So, Nadine, you are awesome. Thank you. Again, this is Sherry, and you are listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. And Moses and I have been passionate about the show for years, but we love being here at KABU, and we can't do it without you. And as a special gift, KABU has accumulated special programming. So what I need you to do for the All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 special programming campaign is go now. It's going on now through the month of April, so you only have a couple more weeks. Check out our special programming page at kboo.fm/A as in Alpha, T, N as in Nancy, F as in Fall, and 4. That's kboo.fm/ATNF4. And that is for the All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 special programming campaign. And we really, really appreciate if you could put a donation in the little donation box too. It's just something super easy you can do to help Moses and I continue with our passion to serve underserved communities with information and insights that they are not getting on mainstream media. So I am going to give it back to Moses. Thank you for listening, and thank you for listening to KBOO. That's KBOO.FM/ATNF4. Go out and check some of the great special programming they've compiled for your listening pleasure.
Right on, right on, right on. Thanks for listening to KBOO FM at 90.7 on your FM dial. You are listening to Moses Ross and PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Now, folks, you—the whole idea behind talk radio is that you get to talk. So you get a chance to call in at 503-231-8187, and let's hear what's on your mind. I have also right now on the line Santiago. Santiago, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
I just kind of wanted to echo a little bit of what Nadine was saying. You know, the Portland has tried in multiple ways. You know, ever since I was a kid, to quote, like, raise funds for the city or, you know, or, like, try to make things better. But, I mean, a lot of what all this stuff turns out being is just another level of gentrification that the city does not need. And, frankly, they spend way too much money, like she was saying, you know, spend way too much money on police. You know, we have a lot of people saying you're afraid to go downtown, but the fact of the matter is it's not people, it's businesses who are afraid to be downtown. It's because they don't know how to live in concert with neighbors, even if those neighbors are homeless, you know, because they don't see, they have very colorful language that they use for the homeless folks in the city. A lot of the Portland Business Alliance folks, the Portland Metro Chamber folks, and right now in the musician community, we're dealing with Prosper Portland trying to do a backdoor deal with the city of Portland to bring in a Live Nation venue.
Yep.
That nobody wants. But they use the same rhetoric. It's going to raise the profile of the city.
Ooh, ouch, Santiago. You know what? You just made a really valid point, sir. They are using the same language with that Live Nation facility as they are using with the PDX, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and that's the same thing that they've used for that when they were trying to, you know, add a casino in over at the old horse betting, the horse racing, yep, or the dog racing track out in Fairview where I live. You know, it's like they're doing everything except the obvious, which is to tax the wealthy white enclaves in the city that hoard the money. You know, and granted, they're not all white, because obviously when you have places like Lake Oswego that have, you know, the Blazers live out there, obviously. But I'm talking about, where's the money and where is it concentrated and why aren't we taxing it? Because that's the biggest thing. We're not taxing the businesses out here enough. They're trying to skirt taxes and think they can just use the police to beat money out of people. I mean, it's insane. You know, there's plenty of money in the city to be doing stuff, but it's not going to come from taxing the people who are working. There's only so much you can squeeze out of a turnip.
Right.
You know what I mean? I find it's a solution without a solution. It's like when you're studying for a test and you're really good at making note cards, but you're not learning anything from the note cards, but you spent all this time writing note cards. You know, it looks like you're doing work, but you're not doing anything.
Well, and hopefully you're picking up some, you're learning through a little bit of osmosis as far as the repeating of it all. But valid point, though. I know your point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing is, like, unfortunately, the city of Portland hasn't learned. I mean, how many neighborhoods does the city of Portland have to gentrify before it figures out that, like, you know, doing investment, you know, doing community investment is just removal of black and brown folks and then just adding more taxes onto stuff, more stuff that people didn't ask for, because people aren't asking for a Major League Baseball venue. People aren't asking for a Live Nation venue. These are people who are looking for business-oriented solutions to community-oriented problems, and those things do not go hand in hand at all, because what's good for the community is ultimately seen as bad for business, because there's no profit in it other than the well-being of the community, and those two things can never be reconciled to each other as long as we have the business marketing mindset that's been drilled into us, you know, under neoliberalism for the last 50 years. It's not going to work. We're seeing the business ethic right now in the White House. Yep. They're talking about cutting waste, but the waste for them is just helping people.
Right. Right.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's what this is. This is a business-oriented solution to a community-oriented problem. Like you said, there's plenty of ways for us to have community, but none of it involves, like, investment in just another money trap for you know, people who want to come from the West Hills down to the city and do a little poverty tourism before they go home.
Right on. No, Santiago, really valid points. I appreciate you calling in and sharing that, you know, and I think that's the challenge, I think, for us as a city is how do we stay in integrity but still have a thriving business environment? And I think that the business environment, you can integrate those two things really easily.
Well,
it's all in the...
Well, the problem is that the business environment doesn't want any regulations, and that's what the state is supposed to do. The state is supposed to intervene on behalf of the people, you know, to be able to stop from these market dynamic issues. Mm-hmm. But it, unfortunately, since, you know, the 70s, the state has been moved from a advocate for the people for an advocate for the government, at least on a federal level, and it's kind of spilled onto the state level a little bit. But I mean that, what's thriving for business depends on who's making, on who is making all the money.
Right.
And if the business owners are the ones who are pocketing most of the profits, they're not going to want to do stuff that's community oriented because to them, that's losing money. But to the rest of us who need that investment in public infrastructures, it's a win. But they don't see that because they see it as a waste. Because who's making money off of it? Nobody's making money. Libraries don't make money. You know what I mean? But they're not there to make money.
It's all for the common good. Santiago, I'm going to let you go because I've got two other people out waiting. So thank you, though. Appreciate you calling in, and we'll see you next Wednesday. You know, Sherry, I think I'm hearing some really valid points here. I'm hearing socially conscientious approach to a business attitude. You know, I feel like we can have both here in Portland. We can have a thriving business environment, and we can also stay in integrity with our social values and our community values.
Right, exactly.
But it is a challenge. It's easy to get off of one track and to say, folks, you know, to favor what the business environment, like what we've been doing, this gentrification that's
exactly.
been happening over the last 40, 50 years, you know.
Exactly. We have Ruth on line one, and I want to apologize to April. She got dropped, and the lines are full, so if you can call back in a few minutes, that'd be great.
And by the way, the phone number to call in and to voice your opinion on issues is 503-231-8187. You're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio on KBOO FM, and I have Ruth online. Hello, Ruth. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I turned my radio on this morning in time for baseball, and also you mentioned the old Portland Rose hockey team, which my father played for.
Wow.
He was drafted from Regina, Saskatchewan, and also on his young man on his on those teams. In the old Portland Coliseum, Johnny Peskovich, who was the Rookie of the Year with the Boston Red Sox, also played hockey.
Oh.
And so I have a lot of memories of that. And Johnny could have played professional hockey also, but he was not a large person, and so he was direct. He signed up, and that was when Williams also was playing. So I knew him from when he was just a very young man.
Oh, that's
and my
amazing.
Father played and coached Portland teams, amateur teams for many years in hockey. So thank you for listening to me.
Oh, Ruth, that is such a wonderful story. You know, and I think they talk about, there's a running joke in hockey community of old school hockey, Toad Blake, and, you know, and I love these stories of old school hockey because I grew up with a sports team, going to my father and I going to games in Salt Lake City, Utah, the Salt Lake Golden Eagles. I remember I was 6 years old, and we played the Portland Buckaroos. The Portland Buckaroos were in the Old Western or the Central Hockey League.
Oh, yes, yes.
And yes, so I remember those teams. A Guy Fiedler was one of the players. So what I love about it, though, is that it brought, in a small way, a couple nights a week, it brought the community together around a common cause. You know,
yes.
Go team. And
Bobby Rowe. Yes, Bobby Rowe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Bobby Rowe was a wonderful friend, and I remember him for a long time.
Ruth, thank you for sharing your memories of this on there. I really appreciate it, and it's a good reminder that the history of these minor league teams here in Portland is very deep, not only for hockey, but for baseball as well, and soccer, sure. Thank you, Ruth. Sherry, we do have somebody else on the line, don't we? You're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio on KBOO FM at 90.7 on your FM dial. It's 8:35 on a beautiful Wednesday. My name is Moses Ross, and you are very welcome to call in if you have something to say that you on this topic at 503-231-8187. I have April, did you say? I have April on the line. Hello, April. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, this is a very interesting show. Portland has actually had this major league baseball stadium discussion before. And it was not popular then for a lot of the reasons that people have been bringing up. Mm-hmm. But when you said that, you know, the image of it would be like a destination for people, mm-hmm. like in the very first, I'm thinking back to, like, say in the 70s when the image of Portland was just green. It was like people come but don't stay. But we still had a lot of tourism. Mm. So I think we really do need to focus on the people that are already here and then maybe our environment. I mean, that draws people. We don't need a Major League Baseball stadium. It's not that I think baseball is not valid, but we already have a stadium. Why do we need to build another one?
True. You know, it's I know that ecotourism, for lack of a better way to put it,
mm-hmm.
is a big reason why a lot of folks come to visit Portland.
Yeah, and it used to be even more. I mean, they used to actually have, Tom McCall had actual, like a plan. I mean, we had like books and all kinds of things kind of joking about how Portland was so rainy, but you know, it was so green and it drew lots of people, and it was kind of a reverse psychology thing. It was like, come visit but don't stay.
But don't stay, right?
Yeah, because we want to keep Portland, you know, what it is, and we want to concentrate on the ecotourism or the people that come here, you know, for the vibe of the city and just that it's really green. So I would challenge that idea too, that we need a major draw to draw people here. I don't know that we do.
You know, and what we've talked tonight, this morning, about Major League Baseball and the baseball stadium. We've also talked about that Live Nation facility that's coming in down there on the east side, supposed to bring 3,000 people for a concert and everything. And these are all attempts by city fathers and by business people to try to bring more attention, bring more business to, bring more visitors to Portland, to try to change Portland's image. Let's put it that way.
Well, what we really need to do is concentrate on taking care of what we have, which are, you know, the people we have, the housing, so we don't have so many homeless people on the street. It would be better for all of us. Mm-hmm. The natural resources, and they're all right here. We can do that at home without building anything new.
Well, I will say this. Lord only knows, back in the heart of it, you know, just even a year or so ago when all the challenges in downtown Portland were there, you know, people, we weren't taking care of the basics.
Right, and so that's much more important than building a new stadium.
Well said. I have to agree with you on that. I think if we were able to just take care of these basics in a confident way, mm-hmm. you know, and have confidence in our, have confidence in the city's ability to take care of these basics, maybe we could give them a little bit, have a little bit more confidence in their ability to manage a baseball stadium, eh?
Right, and, you know, the natural resources are what Portland is blessed with.
Yes.
So it would make sense to, like, build on what we already have instead of trying to create a new image.
Hmm. Hmm. That's an interesting point. April, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate
you.
Bye-bye. Yeah. You know, I'm loving this conversation today, folks, because I think that, you know, Major League Baseball is kind of an aspiration. You know, it's a topic of aspiration. I think it's kind of like what separates Portland, major league city, major metropolises, major cities from, you know, backwater cities. Well, usually they have a major league team of some sort, you know. Now, is Portland the right place for that, you know? Well, we tried to do it with the Blazers. We've been trying to do it with the Blazers. We've been trying to do it with baseball and hockey and such. But, yeah, so that's part of the discussion here. Sherry, who do we have up next?
We have Harry, and he has had to call in a couple times, so please.
Let's get Harry on the line here. Hello, sir. Harry, welcome to the show. Welcome. What's on your mind, sir?
Greetings, and thank you for taking my call. A few things, points I'd like to bring up was, first, you forgot the Portland baseball team, the Mavericks.
Ah, yes, I did.
Yeah, also, we do have a baseball team, but it's actually out in Hillsboro. It's called the Hops.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned Civic Stadium and Civic Auditorium. The city had to build those because there was no money or no one who would do it. Hmm. So they did that, you know, years ago, and Civic Stadium, and of course, that's where the soccer is being played now, here in soccer team here in Portland. But the question I'd like to ask you is, in baseball, what's coming up new is the torpedo bats, a new type of bat where they move the sweet spot up a little farther.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
I think it's, why didn't they think of it 80 years ago? Because it's basically the same circumference. It's a legal bat. A torpedo bat is legal. It's just that they have put the weight of the, or not the weight, but the heft of the bat up closer to the top of the bat. So it looks like a torpedo. And supposedly, what was it, when they first introduced them a couple weeks ago, the Yankees scored 12, 13 runs with that, with these new bats. And so they're taking the MLB by storm. But it's perfectly legal. And it makes a lot of sense to have done that. You're just moving the sweet spot on the baseball bat.
Oh, great. And one last thing was, sure, the how come Portland, we should be concentrating on an NHL team, a National Hockey League team. And Florida has 4 hockey teams, but there's no ice in Florida, but they have 4 teams. Maybe we can grab one of them. And don't forget Seattle's new team, the Kraken. What a beautiful name.
The Kraken, I agree with you, and I have... Seattle is a great example, and then also in Salt Lake City, Utah has a Utah Hockey Club now, has an NHL team. They took over the Arizona Coyote team, the Phoenix Coyotes. And those are two really good examples of how a major league team can really complement a city and actually thrive in a city and have a real solid fan base in a city. The Kraken has got a great community support. It's got a lot of great community support. The Utah hockey team has a lot of great, I mean, they're packing the stadium every game, you know. And I know that The challenge in Portland is that we have the Winterhawks, and the Winterhawks has a long and esteemed history of in the city of Portland, but it is only junior hockey, 19 and younger, and it's not even single A hockey. if you're looking at it from a baseball ranking thing, you know, single A, double A, triple A. So, but now having said that, we've had a couple Winterhawks. Marian Hossa, he came in through the ranks and he had this long, fantastic career in the NHL. And it started in Portland. So there's a real deep history there. Now, all of that to say, would an NHL team thrive in Portland? Yes, sir. I think an NHL team would totally thrive in Portland. It's craving an NHL team. I think it's probably, I would encourage us to get an NHL team before we got a Major League Baseball team, quite frankly. And I say that because hockey is just deep. It's ingrained in this city. I mean, did you know that the second time the Portland Rosebuds hockey team was in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 1916 or something like that, the Seattle Metropolitans was in the very first played the Montreal Maroons, I think it was. And then the second year of the Stanley Cup playoffs, we played a Vancouver team and we lost. But we actually were in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, this is amazing to me that Portland had a team that was in the Stanley Cup Finals. But never again. It lasted only for a few years that we had this team. And I'm going off on a real tangent, but I just love national hockey. The concept of hockey.
You guys, we found Moses's secret talent. You need a sports talk show here. You should put that in for a proposal. You really do. That's your secret sauce. That's your spot.
Funny. I'm sitting here talking, and Sherry's looking at me like, Moses, you're going off on a tangent.
Okay. No, I love it. We found your secret talent. You're fabulous at this. You're very knowledgeable and you're fabulous at it. That's awesome.
Just love the idea of a major league sports team here in Portland. I really do. And I totally respect where April and where Ruth and Nadine were coming from and Santiago were coming from as far as the priorities of the community and the spending of money unnecessarily towards our common community values. I get that. I really do. But there's something about a major league team that just can establish a sense of community pride that is unmatched. Yeah. So, listen to me go. Who's our next caller there, Sherry?
Say thank you to Harry.
Harry, thank you, sir. Thank you for putting me on a tangent, sir.
Jimmy James is our next caller.
Hi, Jimmy. Welcome to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. You're on there.
Well, thank you, Moses and Sherry. I love hearing your show. I'm really endeared by the last caller, Harry and Ruth. In Japan, they take the older people in the community and they make them national treasures.
I'll try and get you in. What's your name?
No, I agree with you very much. Yeah.
I moved here 15 years ago from San Diego, talk about a mess up of fiscal city mismanagement. Mm. You know, when it came to what happened with Qualcomm Stadium and then Petco Park, and they used to have a baseball team and a football team playing in one stadium, and then they rearranged everything, and then they lost their franchise. And that's what, you know, I saw it happen as a child. With the LA Rams and the St. Louis Rams, and you see it with Oakland now, and you know, the thing about having a team is being able to keep it. But the major reason I called is because funding by the there's a 45-day period from now.
Sherry, can you turn off your microphone, please? Thank you.
There's a 45-day period from now where possibly all NPR and PBS funding may be cut, and the chair for PBS and NPR went on to say that, you know, they're going to Congress to plea for for your radio show, for what we have in the public community, you know, for what we have. You know, I know we're not funded by NPR, but I mean, what we have at the community. When it comes to Ruth and Harry, you know, Social Security is being messed with. I mean, everything's starting from the top of the pyramid and trickling down. Like, funding's been cut for so many things federally. And, you know, people really, really need to apply and write their congresspeople and really, so the voice of the community is heard. And that's a major reason I called, is because I just want to make sure you always have funding and that, you know, there's always free speech and that people have a forum like this. And I'm just endeared by all the stories. I moved here 15 years ago. I fell in love with Portland, but I also see how it's fallen into pits and traps. I was raised in L.A. and San Diego, so I just saw everything just be overdeveloped and urban sprawled all over. And I live in Vancouver.
Well, so there's so much. I appreciate the pride that you take in it, and I think that many people have that, and that was kind of the basis of Nadine's point. We must preserve it.
She should be on the city council. Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's the whole idea, though, of us trying to preserve what we have and to highlight it and let that be the selling point for the area.
You know, I watched newspapers shut down left and right. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, all through these years, you know, we used to get the Penny Saver every, you know, and
sure,
people cut down paper and the internet. Kind of cut away at us having newspapers, us having accessibility. One gentleman brought up the fact he was a second caller. He was the caller after Nadine.
Mm-hmm.
He was an amazing fellow, very forward thinker, very progressive thinker. And, you know, libraries aren't there to make money. Newspapers really aren't there to make money. They're there to inform.
Right.
And you know, Moses, you and Sherry, you're on the last vestiges of public forum, besides our news station. You know, you're there on the front line, and I salute you both. And you know, I just want to make sure that we have free speech, and we always have a way of conveying that. So, you know,
amen,
do everything we can to keep, you know, NPR, PBS, you know, Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers.
Do everything we can, but
keep this show going and keep Portland going, because I still believe in Portland. I've worked in it. I've walked all the streets. I canvassed for a home remodel company.
Right on.
I probably knocked on your door.
Yeah.
but I did $8 million worth of business in 10 years because, you know, people really take pride in their homes, and I didn't go up to a door unless something was wrong. And you know, yeah, with their home, you know, I don't waste time, and I don't want to waste anyone else's time, and I'm not trying to waste yours, but I've walked these streets and seen what has happened. I've literally walked all these neighborhoods and watched everything happen firsthand.
Well, it's very cool to hear, you know, the affection that you have for the city of Portland and its environment, you know, especially on the street level, because just yesterday, I was driving around in downtown in the Inner East Side, and I was just flooded by memories of, you know, I've lived here for 30 plus years, and I remember times when it was a little different and how small town it felt, but yet we were in the metro area of Portland. You know, it's a very unique environment that we live in here, and it needs to be cherished.
When I first moved up to Vancouver, I thought I'd moved up to, compared to Southern California, I thought I'd moved up to like Mayberry RFD, you know.
Yeah.
But I had the luxury of going to Portland and experiencing Portland. And having all the artistic acts come here, but I mean, the Vancouverans actually called it Vantucky when I was here, and I said, "Oh, this is just too funny."
I've heard that before.
but you know, that small town feel is, you know, what we can preserve. What Nadine says, dead on the nose. I mean, if we can put on more police, if we can bring on like a budget, you know, it's like when they have highway expansions, and you know, when they do plan neighborhoods, if we can have a little more foresight, you know, I just saw how things just bottlenecked so much all my life in Southern California.
Well, I bet that's a prime example of it all. Yeah.
39 years, and then we just don't want that to happen here, you know.
Let's do all that we can to preserve it, my friend. Let's do all we can.
And everything we can to preserve public radio.
Amen.
And thank you for being on the forefront. Thank you, Moses and Sherry.
Thank you.
And go Portland. I believe in you.
All the best, sir. All righty, Sherry, let's get to it. It's 8:53. We've got 6 minutes left in the show. We have two callers in line waiting. And Sherry, who's the first one?
Mark is up.
Mark, hi. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. What an exciting discussion. You can make shot.
Oop.
What happened?
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. Call back.
Sorry about that, Mark. I apologize. But you're welcome to call back.
Let's try Josh.
Josh, hi. Josh, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Hi, thanks so much.
What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, really, really appreciate everything. One of the things that I want to say is I think I'm totally on the side of everyone who's been like, no stadium, you know. There's this argument that I hear, and I will say, you know, I've never been a fan of sports. That's my bias. I can own that. I don't have anything like, you know, I'm not like hating on sports. You know, I've been to a few, you know, I played in pep band in high school, you know, things like that. But I get frustrated when I hear this argument being made of, oh, you know, we need sports because it brings the community together. And this is what Nadine was talking about. It's, I feel like that's really a false dichotomy. And it's, I don't think this is your intention. I mean, it's clear that you, Moses, just have a real fondness for sports. Like that's part of your childhood, you know, how you're growing
up,
you know, and my father's the same way. So I totally get that. There's a framework called nonviolent communication that a guy named Marshall Rosenberg helped develop many decades ago. He passed away a decade ago. And it makes, one of the things that it does is it makes this distinction between needs that are universal on the one hand versus strategies for meeting those needs. And so when I hear people talk about community and strengthening and giving young men and this, and, you know, I totally agree 100% with all of those needs that need to be addressed. I don't think that this strategy is the best way to meet those needs. And, you know, we can always, there's an argument, well, you know, we can always say, oh, you know, well, there's always a better strategy, you know, perfectionism. But I think that in addition to it not being the best, I think it's also, as other callers have said, and I won't repeat, it also causes real harm when we invest our public money, our tax dollars, our resources into that. First, because it takes that money away from things that could be better spent on other projects like climate resilience, because, hey, you know, if we have a heat dome, we're, you know, that versus Major League Baseball, you know, so that's one thing. And
right,
also
right.
Because, as Santiago and all others have said, you know, it does cause gentrification. Yeah. And communities work the best when they are stable, multi-generational, there's not gentrification, you know, people getting pushed around, you know, and it's when you have the chance to get to know your neighbors and build a long-term relationship, that takes generations to build up really deep bonds. And we can't do that when there's development happening and they're, you know, this is what they do in a lot of cities, and what they're doing in Portland, you know, is they put up new buildings and then they tear them down, and then, you know, 10 years later they tear those, the new ones down, and then, you know, and it's just this constant boondoggle of extractivism and of wealth extraction. And, you know, I will say this. If someone wanted to do something really radical with sports, which I don't think is that radical at all, and radical just means rooted anyway, mm-hmm. and put in a stadium which was entirely volunteer run and non-for-profit, and everybody who worked there was formerly homeless and was given a free place to live of their choosing. I mean, I don't know. This is like a spitball strategy. I'm not actually, scratch what I just said. That's not even a good idea.
Actually, you know,
like,
what, Josh?
If it was a socialist enterprise that was like actually doing holistic good all around, and there was no money at all, not one penny being siphoned from anyone who has less than, you know, $10 million in their pocket, to people who have more than that in their pocket,
yep.
if not one penny was being moved from everyone else to the top 0.1%, I would be a lot more open to that.
Right on.
And that's just not what happens with any of these kinds of projects, from the designers to the art and the architects to the contracting firms,
sure.
that subcontract,
gosh,
you know.
Josh, you know what? I apologize for interrupting, but I've got 20 seconds to be able to cut off the show.
Go.
Hey, thank you much. Thanks. I appreciate your opinion very much.
Okay.
Other callers, I know I have one or two other people that were online. I apologize. We'll catch you next week. We'll be here next Wednesday morning. You've been listening to Moses Ross, Sherry Morish at PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We'll see you next Wednesday, and thank
on
you.
On KBOO.FM or 90.7 FM in Portland. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, everybody who called. This was a record.
Good show.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO on April 22nd at 10 a.m. for Rockin' Out with DJ Fluorite, a part of KBOO's special Earth Day programming. This program is dedicated to geology in honor of Earth Day, so tune in.